Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today and hope you're having a really fantastic day. Well, I'm especially excited about today because it's one of our favorite shows. If you listen often enough, you know we have special guests, probably three different guests that we bring back once a month. And Dr. Troy is one of your favorites. He's one of our favorites as well. We call this edition Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And so we're ready for your questions. The phone lines are open. We also have plenty of email questions to go through as well. We're going to kick off the conversation today, just Doc and I talking about metabolism. That's an interesting topic. Wait till you hear what we have to say, what Doc has to say, and the stuff I'm going to make up as we go. Anyway, looking so forward to that. But also want you to know, next month, Dr. Troy will be in studio for a live studio audience event, Thursday, November 9th. Now, up to this point, we've had you go to the website and sign up on the Live the Promise page. But just this is special for this 2 hours only. I'm going to help you out with this. So if you know that you're available to come for the live show, 3 to 5, we'll have refreshments, we'll be able to mingle, you'll get to meet Doc face to face. Don't ask him for an adjustment. I'm just saying, because we want to respect it, even though I did right before the show. But anyway, want you to just know that we're going to have some fun time. And but this is how you can do it, just to make it easier for you this one time, just for these 2 hours. If you know you can make it to the station here in the Twin Cities and join us, and you want in on the live studio audience, we've got some space left. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. All we need is your email, which we get when you email me, and your phone number, and we will manually sign you up. So on your mark, get set, go. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that number. Now, I don't want that to be confused with, if you're emailing with a question for Doc, do that at any time. But just, maybe in the subject line, say, sign me up, or live studio audience, or something like that, okay? Susie@myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. He travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. Dr. Spurl's company is located in Eagan, Minnesota, and I will just add that nobody has helped me like this doctor has helped me. Nobody really has helped me and been a catalyst for my healing and recovery. I'm so grateful. So welcome back to studio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Good to have you, sir. So we like to start out talking scripture, and I know you're an overachiever, so I know you have one. So what do you got?
I do have one. It's Job. So
Of course, I was going to say.
Yes, of course. With this scenario, actually, it's when I look up different scripture or when I pray about it, this time I used Google to just as far as different words and everything. And when it came to metabolism, or what I call the spirit of God that runs through us, the majority of them that showed up were Job and just the trials that he went through. So it was very interesting. So then I dove into that. And I was almost late to the show because I was reading about that.
I paced a little.
But it's Job 33:4. The spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Mm. And for me, that's a reflection of when we talk about our metabolism, we think about our energy. It's how our processes are working. And today we're going to talk a little bit about what slows that down, what gets in the way. And the big thing for me was not necessarily the verse itself. It was just when I started thinking about Job and everything he had went through to get to where he was and the faith that took. That's very similar to people when they start to lose their metabolism, when they start to lose their health, when things aren't going right, when they have to start thinking about it, when it's just not reflexive in their life anymore, they become challenged, much like Job. But the reality is his faith was just unbelievable, and what he went through and was put through to prove it out. We have to go through our own trials in the process of regaining our health, and sometimes you feel like Job. You really, really do. And so for me, it's knowing that the Spirit of God is in me and flows through me. And our metabolism is a reflection of our overall health. And the things that can interfere with our metabolism, it interferes with the flow of life, if you will. We start to literally have less energy for life. We start to have less function in life. And so a lot of times people equate how they feel to their faith instead of the faith dictating how they feel.
So
and
true.
So it's very, very important to realize that Spirit of God flows through us all the time. And when we're talking about metabolism, it's there. It's always there. It's just how we get in our own way and the habits that we have in our life that are blocking it. And when you release those, it comes back at any age, at any stage.
Wow. Did you hear that? You can change your metabolism and it can come back. So let's describe what is metabolism other than the rate which we burn calories?
It's the rate at which we burn calories.
See, did you hear that? I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio.
It really is. It's basically how we take our food and we use it for energy. Mm-hmm. And so basically we need just a few things to keep our cells going. We need oxygen first and foremost. Then we need proper blood glucose or blood sugar levels to make the energy. And then we need the calories to burn that. That's going to create the ATP in our body, which is what gives us the energy. And then whatever cell that's occurring in will perform its unique function. If it's a heart cell, then that heart cell will start to do what it's supposed to do. If it's a nerve cell, it'll garner the electric current and fire as a nerve cell. So we need to have our oxygen, our blood sugar, and then our calories there to produce the energy. And then once we get that, all of it is set up, we need the key that kind of turns on the engine, if you will. And that's where thyroid comes in, and the thyroid hormone. It's kind of like the ignition. If you don't have thyroid in there, it's like having a full tank of gas in a Lamborghini and no key to start the car. So we need all of those aspects going, and then we need a driver, if you will. So our metabolism is taking everything that we breathe in and that we consume and turning it into energy.
Wow. And why are some born with especially high metabolism or especially low metabolism? Is there ever a disorder associated with that? Is it a part of that just muscle tone, or what is that?
Well, a lot of it is. The funny thing is, it's a lot of what your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents were doing. So there is a genetic tendency, if you will, but there really is less than 1% of genetic obesity problems or metabolic problems that people are born with. The majority is passed down. So certain people are born with higher metabolisms. They can get away with a lot more. But if they developed unhealthy habits and later in life they start to gain weight and things like that, they can pass those down onto their kids and stuff too. Now, a lot of times it's really about what's happened when you're a child. Mm. So we see unhealthy habits of kids before they start to have other children of their own. Those are the ones that pass down, I don't want to say damaged DNA, but they pass down genetic predispositions a little bit worse than what their parents did.
So they could be born with a high metabolism and basically trash that by their own intake and the way that they're living their life, and then they can pass that predisposition down. I suppose, I mean, it is sort of like the sins of the forefathers, because
exactly
there's a predisposition
is
to alcoholism and
yes,
other things as well.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And
wow,
so I found quite a correlation between a lot of the generational scenarios and the genetic scenarios.
Wow.
They're really blending when it comes to faith and science. They're coming together in that realm. And we're seeing that, you know, in one generation, you don't always see the quick changes. Although that can happen, it's fairly rare. It takes multiple generations. But now we're at a point where we're seeing habits of generations starting to affect kids. And when they apply an unhealthy diet or routine, what used to take 50, 60 years of aging process to cause diabetes, we're now seeing in 9-year-olds. And so literally in 9 years, they've aged their body to that of a 50-year-old, so that diabetes is occurring.
That
takes effort, not only from that child, like poor habits from that child, but from the child's parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. So
it's a cumulative effect.
It's a cumulative effect, yes.
Wow. Okay, so a person born with particularly low metabolism, that might be what you're just talking about. Are there any other factors for someone with low metabolism? And you're saying even they can change their metabolism by
absolutely,
lifestyle.
Absolutely. Lifestyle greatly. So there's a lot of things that can impact our metabolism. Number one, there's a lot of challenges with our thyroid hormone. Thyroid's the key, like we said. And so if you can do anything and everything to put that in your favor, your metabolism's going to stay up. And so some of the things that that interfere with thyroid are environmental toxins from estrogens, hormone replacement therapy. Being exposed to other hormones early in life can actually alter thyroid, especially in women. Iodine deficiency can do it. So a lot of times people don't eat the high iodine foods like kelp and some of the nuts that actually have iodine in them. And so, or some of the foods that have iodine in them. And so it's important to stay consistently eating foods high with iodine. They actually put it in our salt so that we could start to replenish some of it. But now we've gotten onto this track where we're avoiding salt. And so a lot of people are
using too much sunscreen, I'm just saying.
Yes, very true. And yeah. So the other things that affect iodine, for example, when they had the catastrophe over in Japan and all that radiation leaked out over the ocean, we had to actually supply our patients, a lot of our patients that came from California, we had to give them extra iodine because the radiation depletes their iodine significantly. Most of the medical clinics on the coast of California were handing out iodine to the patients just because of the negative effects of the radiation. Also, we've talked on the show before about an intestinal inflammatory condition called SIBO. And for some people, if the SIBO or candida or bacterial overgrowth grows in the wrong spot to the small intestine, that can impact the ability to absorb iodine. And then lastly, we see stomach acid imbalances can create that same scenario where not only are you not absorbing B12, calcium, iron, but also iodine, selenium, and zinc. And you need selenium, magnesium, and zinc to effectively convert iodine into active thyroid. And a lot of these foods that we need to be eating come from clean meats, unprocessed dairy like organic yogurt and raw cheese versus the processed form of it. So we see that there is a lot of proteins and meats that are not being properly consumed and therefore leading to a lot of the problems. The other side of that is, like we said, we need proper blood sugar management. And so we see insulin resistance and blood sugar irregulations early on depleting the whole scenario as far as metabolism. So you're not getting good sugar. So if you have plenty of thyroid and plenty of oxygen, but you can't deliver the sugar to the cell, it's like having no gas in the tank. So you're not going to go anywhere either. You have these lulls and people will have these spikes. And so that's a whole other conversation on glycemic index as far as the highs and lows. We have to stay nice and balanced. And there's so many things that influence our blood sugar. It's what we eat. Stress can cause spikes in cortisol, which then deplete our insulin's ability to actually work properly. So there are a lot of factors that way that can really influence our ability to keep a nice, strong, balanced metabolism.
And this really goes to why we, you know, the Bible talks about guarding your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Renew your mind. I mean, our attitudes, what we let in, the story we tell ourselves, all of those things factor into our health. And I don't know if this is what we used to talk about in fitness. It came down from a sports trainer that if we put 2 to 3 pounds of muscle on our frame, by virtue of an increased metabolism, we'll burn 12 to 13 pounds more of fat a year just because of a higher... Do you know that to be true?
Muscle burns calories at almost 2.2 times the rate of fat.
Wow.
And so it requires a lot more fuel. So it's going to take in a lot of what you have. And so on the other side, I'll talk a little bit about what happens when we get too much into fat storage.
Oh, that sounds good. All right. So the phone lines are open too, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And then if you want to join us in the live studio audience, put this in the email, put live studio, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We need your phone number and we'll manually sign you up, but we want to see you. It'd be really fun if you were there. Won't be the same if you're not. More with Dr. Troy in a moment. I just love that song. I mean, I just want to get up and move. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It is another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. As I mentioned, next month we'll have him in studio for a live studio audience. We've got space for you. So normally we have you sign up on the website, but we're going to make it easy just during these 2 hours. Email me if you want to be able to join us. We'd love to hear from you. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put live studio in the subject line and just need your phone number and we'll manually sign you up and you'll get a verification email. But if you've got a question for the doc, email your question or give us a call, 877-933-2484. Before we finish the metabolism talk, I want to just grab Bob's call here for you. Bob is checking in from St. Paul. And Bob, you're on the air.
Yes, I've been working on my schizophrenia for years and years. And what would be the best diet for me?
There is a few diets out there. There's a great book. I'm trying to recall the name. It is specifically in regards to schizophrenia, and it has to do with just making sure the gut is as clean as possible. You know what? I will get that information to you. I'm just having a hard time remembering the name of the book because it is a phenomenal book as far as helping to clean everything out of the digestive tract. It's very, very similar to the paleo diet, but it's got a little bit more specific information with it. So if you can hang in there, Bob, I will make sure I get that to you because it will come quickly here.
Bob, this is what I'd love for you to do is email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and remind me of that question. And when the doc gets that information, I'll be sure to follow up with you by email to make sure that you get that. All right? 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Call with your best question for the doc. And you were saying, I should let you text because it's probably hard to do two things at once. You want to finish? And
I can sing. One thing at a time.
I can wait here a little bit. Anyway, we were talking metabolism at the open of the show and just different factors. You were saying that maybe give us a summary of some of these factors, but you started to talk about fat storage and the importance there.
Yeah, so there's six main areas that can affect our metabolism. One is the thyroid, like we talked about. The second one is stress, and stress can really impact our metabolism. We can literally start to see our system shutting down. It also increases cortisol, which I'll talk about in a little bit, which is a fat storage hormone. And then we've got a third one, which is pH, or your acidity of the body. When you start to become very inflamed, when you start to become very acidic, the acid that's in our surrounding tissues literally takes the thyroid hormone that you have and makes it work at 50% efficiency. So even if your labs are normal, you could still have all these thyroid symptoms, and it's simply because of how inflamed or acidic you are.
Wow.
So that becomes very, very important, because a lot of people will go get your thyroid checked and the doctor will say, no, everything's good, and then you're just confused.
And they feel like they're crazy.
Yeah, feel like you're crazy, and you just kind of move on. And the reality is, it's because you're really acidic. The kidneys can't concentrate and pull out all the acids, or you're eating food allergies, or you have a hidden infection. There are different things going on there that are just low grade, but causing a completely different acidic response. And so it'll show up later on with depletion in calcium levels, maybe osteoporosis when you're a little bit older. But you think you're kind of going nuts because you've got all the thyroid symptoms. When you look it up, it looks like thyroid. And the reality is it kind of is, because the pH is just making the thyroid less effective. The fourth one, like we said, was iodine deficiency and or all the things that impact iodine, like selenium, magnesium, and zinc. And we've talked a little bit before about how zinc and copper need to be very much balanced. And so if you have metabolic problems and you have depression and anxiety, a lot of times there's a copper-zinc imbalance, and so when copper gets too high, it inhibits the zinc, which, funny enough, reflects more on the metabolic side of things in concert with anxiety and depression. So it becomes a pretty significant imbalance there. Estrogen dominance can cause problems as well, or too much estrogen from birth control or from other things in our environment that mimic estrogen. Estrogen literally will take the seat in the receptors that thyroid hormone is supposed to, so it displaces it, but it doesn't know how to turn the key, if you will. So it's like putting a lock on the ignition, and so it blocks the ability for our metabolism to start to work. Insulin resistance, like we said, or blood sugar regulation is another part of that. And with that one and the stress in particular, we start to see cravings for sugar, and we start to see fat storage. The problem once you have fat storage is that fat is a reserve of energy that your body now and your brain now knows you have. So it's going to start down-regulating your metabolism because you've got all these reserves. So why
not in famine anymore?
That's exactly right. So it's basically you've got all this storage, so it's not going to actually keep your metabolism high. It's going to start pulling from its stores. But then the problem is you keep consuming the calories as if you don't have that storage. And so once you're clinically obese, it starts to, not even clinically obese, but once you start to store fat, it starts to slowly downregulate your metabolic gains and ability to burn calories from the food you're consuming. So our lower calorie intakes are very, very important for that.
After we take this next call, I want to ask about, just to give you a heads up, but people who can't lose weight, and also what your thoughts are on the gastric bypass surgery. I've heard stories, so many stories of people who've gotten that surgery and years later going, I wanted a quick fix, and it wrecked everything about my health. And others who said, oh, it was great, and I lost weight so fast. So curious about your thoughts. So, okay, we're this close to a break, but let's grab Michelle's question, and we might have to have Doc answer it on the other side. Hey, Michelle, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi. So I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism after probably 14 or more months of clinical presentations of it, not knowing what it was. And it took a long time for them to identify it. By then, I'd had an issue of bleeding, you know, for as many as 40 days or something like that. So I think I was also somewhat anemic. I was put on the levothyroxine, and I'm wondering, in terms of just recapturing that, if it's impossible on the backside of, you know, once you start taking this medication, if there's anything you can do, or if it's better to just stay on it, you know?
Yeah, you can absolutely recapture it. You can get your old vitality back. Everything can be back. It's important, can come back. It's important to really pay attention to the details and know that it's not as simple as just one thing. Once you get into a hypothyroid state for a long periods of time, that affects your other hormones significantly. It affects your adrenal glands. It affects your brain. It affects your ability to digest. And so it's important to pay attention to all of these other scenarios. Many, many times the most common cause of hypothyroid is autoimmune, and that gets missed. And so if you have antibodies against your thyroid hormones, then that's very important to know. And then that takes a whole other process, and there's 8 main factors you have to manage with that. You want to make sure any anemia is addressed, so you have to make sure your hemoglobin and your iron levels are normal. If it's coming from any excess blood loss from bleeding internally or from hormones, that just has to make sure it's addressed. And getting all the inflammation out of the intestinal system, the body, is crucial for that as well. But just keep managing the small, small findings.
There's always hope, and there's something always that we can do. Talking to Dr. Troy today. Don't go away. More great conversation up ahead. Everybody looking for a real revival. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is of the Promise. Have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. We have him on every month. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. I just have such exciting news that we're bringing him in studio for a live studio event again next month, Thursday, November 9th. And you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about how to detox before the holidays, how to prepare for the holidays so you don't wake up on January 1st and kind of hate yourself for what you spent, what you ate. Anything else you want to add to what we'll be talking about next month?
It's basically this time of year is where we see the majority of the deficits health-wise start to occur. The seeds of the health going in the wrong direction, whether it be weight gain, mental instability, and a lot of times it comes from this season. And it's a season where we have tremendous amount of sugar and foods around us, as well as back to school, back to work or transitions. And so there's also some very unique things that occur to our bodies physiologically in this season. So I want to go through those and really teach people about what's happening in their body and how to prepare for it so they can set themselves up for success.
So we're doing this pre-holidays. So because, you know what, we love this season, but it's very stressful on our bodies. So there are just some preemptive things we can do. That's what we'll be talking about next month. If you want in studio, if you want, it's free, right? But you just got to sign up. And normally we have you signing up on the website. But for these 2 hours that we've got Dr. Troy with us, we're going to make it easy for you. If you think you can make it, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put in studio or something like that. that in the subject line. What I just need is your email, which I'll get when you email me, but I also need your phone number, all right? Susie@myfaithradio.com. Before we take Kristen, who's on hold, hang with me, Kristen. Michelle, prior to the break, called about hypothyroidism, and you wanted to add something there.
I just want to make sure that she also heard that it's possible to get off the thyroid medication, but don't do that yourself. Do that under the guidance of your doctor, and make sure you're looking at the other variables like the vitamin D, the autoimmunity potential, food reactants, and some blood sugar regulation. As you pay attention to a lot of those scenarios and start to correct them, then the thyroid starts to improve on its own, and you have to dose correct. And so it's not anything you should do by yourself. You have to be under a trained physician. So I want to make sure Michelle heard that part of it, too, when it comes to the medication side of it.
And then Bob, who called about diet for schizophrenia, you found the book
that's
sitting on your shelf.
It is. It's on my shelf. I could see it in my mind.
Staring right at you.
It's called Gut and Psychology Syndrome.
Interesting.
And it's by Natasha McBride.
Okay.
And so Gut and Psychology Syndrome, it's an older book, but it's the first one that came out when it came to schizophrenia. And then when you get into that, that'll give you a good recommended diet, and then from that you'll discover a few other books that are a little bit more recent that'll also help with some of the new research that's out there. But that was the first book that really was groundbreaking in that arena. So, and it's a bit of a tough read as far as a lot of details, but it's a good one.
All right. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Call with your questions. Kristen's on from Stephen, Minnesota. Hey, Kristen, glad to have you.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I could relate to some of the things that were already discussed. I have Hashimoto's, I have SIBO and estrogen dominance, I have high cortisol and low metabolized cortisol, and I have low methylation pathways and androgen deficiencies, and I've been gaining weight now, and it's been pretty steady, and I would get like 3 bad nights of sleep, and I would gain 5 pounds.
Oh, so sorry.
I think that stress in itself is what, you know, is keeping my stress levels high, but I just don't know what to eat. I'm following mainly an autoimmune paleo diet, but I'm just very fearful of gaining more weight, and because I really have a lot of food restrictions, food itself is really stressful for me, and I was just at the Thrive Conference last weekend, and so I know the Lord is asking me to focus my happiness in Him and not on this weight issue, but I still am having trouble figuring out what I can eat because I just have so many different issues going on in my body, along with like parasites and, you know, just all those things that come with the autoimmune disease.
Well, for what it's worth, I want you to know that, and you probably know this in your head, but I pray you know it in your heart, God cares so deeply about this struggle. And it's easy maybe for someone who doesn't struggle in their health to say, well, just be joyful in the Lord. But He cares when you struggle. What breaks your heart breaks His heart, and He's with you on this journey. So He wants you to have answers more than you want to have answers. Just want to affirm that, but go ahead, Doc.
Yes, absolutely. And what you're describing is the exact autoimmune scenario. And like we said, there's 8 different factors, and you named off 6 of the 8.
Wow.
And so it's very important to start to get on top of these factors one at a time. And I'll tell you this, it takes 2 to 5 years to really get on top of autoimmunity and be balanced. And so know that it's absolutely possible. You can get your life and life back. I wrote a book 17 years ago about my journey with autoimmunity and we didn't know what it was at that time, but I remember in the book thinking and writing that I thought food was evil because of what it actually did to my body or what I perceived it did to my body. So I absolutely understand that. So before I was Dr. Troy, I was Patient Troy. And so I get that side of it. And what I want you to say is, or I want you to hear, sorry, is that the food reactions will slowly go away. There is, at this point, a sleep disorder that will most likely be prevalent and present, and that needs to be addressed, and potential for leaky gut is really high. Once you start fixing that sleep and the digestive system, and you have to support your adrenal glands, those two areas, supporting the adrenal glands and getting the sleep and the leaky gut corrected will start the path. Now, sometimes it does require extra fasting, and the crazy thing is you'll fast and still gain weight. While you're doing that, you also have to be making sure there's no hidden infections, because at this point you're prone to candida, yeast, SIBO, and those infections have to be dealt with. And then you will need extra thyroid support while you're going through this process. So getting those factors addressed early on and first will give you a little bit of stability while you start to work on all the other factors. And so, which is, includes the estrogen dominance, it includes vitamin D deficiencies, it includes other hidden infections and the different stress reactions. So do your best to look at those eight different factors of autoimmunity. And what I'll do, I'm going to put on our website, this is Kristen that's online right now?
Yep.
That's correct?
Mm-hmm.
So Kristen, I'm going to actually put on there, I'll have my staff put on the eight factors of autoimmunity so you can look that up, so you can start to manage those eight factors. So I'll have them put that up next week. With your name in there somewhere. So you
very
know.
Good. How wonderful is that? And Father, I just pray for Kristen. I pray you give her enough breakthrough to encourage her. I pray that you'd start to give her sleep and that she would dream and that she would just feel encouraged by her strides forward. I pray you grant her efforts success and that you would protect her from every enemy scheme to steal from her. Give her a vision of what health and healing looks like. And I just pray you'd bring it to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, dear Kristen. All right, Lewis is checking in from Duluth. We talked about gastric bypass, and he had a gastric bypass. They said it saved his life, but he's got some other issues alongside of that. 877-933-2484. Hey, Lewis, you're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, Susie.
Good afternoon.
Susie with an S.
Yes. Well, you know what? I get in trouble when I'm out in public and people tell me I never say how to spell my name. So there you go.
Well, I had waited and waited. I had to wait 45 months or wow. so to get my bariatric surgery in.
Hmm.
But I jumped through all the hoops and had to be reapproved. But it did actually save my life. And I've kept most of the weight off. And I went from a 60-inch chest to a 40-inch chest, 60-inch waist to a 30-inch waist. And I lost 9 inches around my neck, going from 23.5 to 14.5. Now I can actually wear a dress shirt and a tie. I couldn't do that. When you're 23.5, you cannot find clothes or a neck that big, even though your brother works in the clothing store.
Wow.
But I also have had thyroid issues. They told me once I got locked into the right dosage of Synthroid, and I also talked with friends and doctors, chiropractors, about Armour versus Synthroid. They said, once we get you locked into the right thing, well, it'll just fall right off you. No, that didn't happen. Not in my case, but it did save my life. And just another quick stat. I don't want to glory in or where I was in the past, but I used to take, I was prescribed 14 pills during the daytime for muscle, ache, joint pain, diabetes. I became type 2 diabetic, insulin dependent diabetic, on Novolog, Humalog, and Lantus at bedtime, plus metformin and glyburide. I had diabetic neuropathy. And at bed, that was 14 pills during the day. And at bedtime, I had 24 pills to take.
I want to
not even be able to swallow pills.
Sorry, Lewis. We got a break coming up, and I want to make sure he gets the answer. So I want to hear. So you're saying you had the gastric bypass. Your thyroid's never quite been the same. Was there anything else that I can throw to?
I went off of it, but now I'm back on to Synthroid, and I'm just because I lost the weight, it didn't make my thyroid start to work again. So I was kind of intrigued to think that even after these years, that maybe there might be a possibility or a hope of maybe getting off of the Synthroid, because I've done it at least twice, maybe a third time with my doctor. So, but I'm.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. There are things you can do to help get the thyroid working again. Some of the differences between Armour and Synthroid, like they said, there are some differences. You have to look at the other influencers here. So there are many other things in your current life and routine that might be influencing your thyroid function. For example, just because you're a man doesn't mean estrogen is not influencing this scenario. And so a lot of excess estrogen exposures can still affect thyroid. When you go to someone who does functional medicine at Synapse, we'll look at the actual whole picture of the thyroid, not just the TSH. We get the TSH, the T3, T4, the free T3, free T4, TPO and TGA antibodies. We wanted to look at the whole thyroid picture along with the other markers. So your blood sugar regulation will play into this. Looking for clues for hidden infection. It's very common with significant weight loss that the gallbladder and bile system becomes compromised, and then that compromise can then affect your ability to metabolize properly, and the thyroid can become problematic. People with significant gluten allergies do not respond well to Synthroid. There's actually reports of Synthroid containing some gluten. And so we look at that and know that certain people are going to be triggered with Synthroid. Now, it'll still be somewhat effective, but there might be a different thyroid medication there. Also, with gastric bypass, you lose the ability to absorb B12 and other minerals. So sometimes you need the shots. B12 shots and specific supplements have to be ingested to keep your hormones active and balanced. So hidden infections, a big one, the estrogen, bile disruption, and then the blood sugar regulation has to be there as well.
All right, we're going to pause here. Thanks, Lewis, for that question. Jack, I see you. Or do we just talk to Jack? Sorry, I've got my calls mixed up. Jack's next, right? Jack, you're on deck. Tom from Fargo, then Danielle from Minneapolis. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
He started something good.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. We have our good friend Dr. Troy in studio every single month for health and healing for Dr. Troy. We'd love to take your questions on health. 877-933-2484. Just want you to be encouraged that there's things that are God's part and there's steps that are our part, and God wants us to flourish. He wants you to flourish. And sometimes it's as simple as, not always so simple, but changing your diet, establishing a bedtime, eating a food that's good for you that you don't particularly like, but your body needs it, right? And we want to help you get there so, so much. 877-933-2484. So Jack is checking in from St. Paul, and he's got a question for you today. Doc, there you go. Jack, you're on the air.
Thank you, Susie. It's a great, hopeful show you got.
Mm.
My question is, what testing options can preclude a prostate biopsy? In other words, not have to have a biopsy, no cancer, you know.
Well, that's more in the realm of the traditional medicine versus functional medicine. So I'm gonna talk from a functional medicine perspective. In traditional medicine, if they're suggesting biopsy, that means that's the state that that's where you're at. And so they want to really check it out. So I want to make sure you hear that first. In functional medicine, they will look at your pH levels, and they'll look at different markers as far as nutrient deficiencies in the blood, urine, and saliva. And so once they start to see those, they'll work on the deficiencies. And so they don't, in functional medicine, treat any type of prostate cancer or cancer in general. What they'll do is look at nutritional deficiencies specific to increased acidity or challenges within the actual bladder and urinary aspects. And so zinc becomes a really big part of it, and the pH imbalance. Specific tests right now, they do not have for that. So unfortunately, not anything that has been duplicatable to this point as far as in the functional medicine world. So right now I do recommend you follow up and follow through with your current recommendations, but know that there's some information. So there's some information out there. There are some hospitals that I know are doing the research right now, some functional medicine hospitals that are doing the research right now, but nothing that is definitively would be definitively acceptable for me to actually say on the air and feel good about it.
All right, so. Very good. Thank you, Jack, for that. 877-933-2484. We've got Tom checking in from Fargo. Hey, Tom, you're on the air.
Hey, Susie. Good afternoon. Say, Dr. Troy, I've been working on an inner ear infection for quite some time, and I've just figured out over the last couple months that I am highly allergic very, very, very dairy sensitive. And I've been reading online that even the processed meats that we eat, that some of the binders can be a dairy derivative to hold them together. I've noticed that anything that I eat on the dairy side, I start to get an inner ear infection. My ear starts to plug up. It starts to hurt. I go away from it. It goes away. And I've also discovered that I am soy and I do not get along. And there is soy in everything. Do you have any kind of on your website or something, anything that a diet that or something I should be, some type of supplement, something I should be doing in my diet?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And you're not alone. There's a lot of people who have this scenario. And so what I want to just talk on there is dairy is a known mucus producer for a lot of people. They have a reaction in their intestinal tract, and it produces mucus. And then the mucus will swell in the nasal cavities as well. And so we see this very, very commonly. And so there are other aspects to fix and address. So generally speaking, once you get to the point where if you didn't have the dairy reaction when you were younger, then there's a high probability of some form of intestinal dysbiosis going on, meaning bacteria, mold, fungus, yeast, something along those lines. And that will have contributed to the whole problem. So we need to avoid dairy for 3 to 6 months. You can put soy in that as well. You can send an email to info@officialsynapse.com and we will send you the diet you should be on. It's called the anti-inflammatory diet. And you do that for a 2 to 4 week time period. And that'll help kind of clean things up and get the sinuses and inner ear back to where it's supposed to be. Many, many people will also need to get their jaw and their head assessed. And by head, I mean like their actual physical part of the head with a chiropractor. When you get that swelling and the mucosal membranes start to swell up, the pressure in the head increases and it shifts a little bit and then it doesn't drain properly. So we need that drainage to work better. And a lot of people don't know that their jaw is a little tight, but it's actually off. Mm-hmm. So getting the jaw assessed, the occiput or head assessed will be very, very important to the process so that things can drain properly. Doing an anti-inflammatory diet would be very, very helpful in that you avoid dairy, wheat, soy, corn, and sugar. So it's a pretty strict diet, but there are lots of foods you can eat. And then you clean up the inflammation. And afterwards, grapeseed extract and fixing the intestinal imbalance, whether it be yeast or just normal probiotics, identifying what the bacterial imbalance is will be very, very important. And then you help correct and balance that. So that might be probiotics. It might be a yeast cleanse. It might just be needing grapeseed extract for 3 to 6 months.
Very good. Thanks for that. All right. Danielle's checking in from Minneapolis. Hey, Danielle, thanks for holding.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
I was diagnosed with, because there's just so much, but I'm just going to try to sum it up. But I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis a couple of years ago, and I just had really bad reactions to the prescription meds. And because of that, I decided to try to change my diet and my eating habits. And so I've been on this journey of no gluten, no dairy, no grains. And I recently, but I still have such, just that I react to just about everything I eat, whether it's good for me, quote unquote, good for me or not. And so I recently took, I did an IgE antibody food sensitivity testing. I'm really, I've just been doing Google and just trying to figure out as I go. And I got my results back and just still feel kind of lost because a lot of the things that I thought, oh, for sure, they're going to show, you know, that shouldn't eat that, you shouldn't eat that. I'm still like, I don't know what I can eat, what I should do.
I'm Danielle. I'm going to jump in just because we have a hard out here coming in just a few minutes, and it'll be another 4 minutes before we're back on the air. And I want to make sure that the doc has time to answer you. Do you have information that you need, doc?
Yeah, I can get going. And then if you have anything else, Danielle, just let me know.
Yeah.
So when it comes to MS, we treat that like an autoimmune scenario. And with most autoimmune, there is digestive compromise pretty much across the board. And so what I want you to hear is a couple things. When you talk about IgE, there are many, many ways to actually look at and assess food reaction. IgE is a true allergy. What that means is you release histamine to the reaction. You would swell up and have a negative reaction that way. It only tests those types of reactions. What you're describing and what we normally see in autoimmune is not IgE-mediated allergy. We usually see intolerances like a lactose intolerance or an intolerance to breaking down certain foods or a sensitivity where there's a nerve or an immunologic reaction more in the IgG category. So it's not a true allergy, but it does cause a reaction. And so it's important to know that the IgE will only give you certain foods, kind of like the anaphylaxis from peanuts. And so they're more life-threatening. So getting an IgG blood test will tell you a little bit more information. However, what we've generally seen is people will have what's called leaky gut syndrome. It doesn't matter if what you're eating, if you have leaky gut, you will eventually develop a reaction to whatever you're eating the most of. So it becomes a scenario where you have to fix the leaky gut. Also, with MS in particular, we tend to see dysfunction in the actual stomach where you're not breaking down proteins all that effectively. Sometimes the stomach will be caught up in the diaphragm and you have what's called a functional hiatal hernia. Not one that you fix with surgery, but one that literally once you pull down, the stomach starts performing a little bit better. And at Synapse, we developed a little theory, and I want you guys to hear this. This is a theory based on the people we've worked with. There are many, many people, if you happen to have trouble with the medications and if you react to eggs being one of the IgG or an intolerance, one of the main components of eggs is choline. And we've seen the majority of our MS patients be deficient in choline. And choline, when you don't have enough, the liver needs it to help do its job. And when you don't have enough, it's going to pull from its closest source in the body, that's in the myelin, which is the sheath around the nerves.
Yeah, interesting.
And so there is a theory that we've worked with, and we have many patients that once we restore their choline levels, their liver starts performing better and a lot of their symptoms start to decrease. Now, the liver is also very integral to digestion. So you have to make sure the leaky gut's not there and is okay. You have to make sure the stomach is producing acid at the right time. There can be a timing mechanism problem if it's caught on the diaphragm. And you have to make sure that the liver and the gallbladder system are releasing bile appropriately. So there's a lot that goes into it, but the choline part of it is a big, big scenario that we've seen.
Very interesting. Wow, that's fascinating. Danielle, I hope that answered your question. Peggy, I see you holding. You have the patience of Job. I hope you can hang on. If you can't, get back on the line with our call screener and kind of lay out your question. We'll make sure to answer it at the top. Susie Larson here. First hour of Live the Promise is just finished. We've got another great hour up ahead with Dr. Troy, so don't go away. More great conversation up ahead.